Thanks for recording us with the Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi teleconference with respectability, scheduled for Thursday, September 4th, 2014, at 1:45 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. I would now like to turn today's call over to Ms. Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi. Ma'am, you may begin.
Hello and welcome. This is Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi, and on behalf of Respectability USA, an organization working to empower Americans with disabilities to achieve the American dream, I want to welcome you on this recorded on-the-record call with Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin. I want to thank the more than 200 of you who have joined us to discuss employment first policies and jobs for people with disabilities. When I turned on the news today, Governor Walker was in the lead story. But as we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan group, we're not going to be covering any campaign issues. We're going to be covering public policy on the real day-to-day work to expand opportunities to some of America's most disenfranchised and poorest citizens who also happen to have many great talents. I want to thank all of you who sent in questions. Governor Walker will get all of them, so even if we don't get to your specific question, he will know what was on your mind. Before I turn it over to Governor Walker for an opening statement and then the questions, I want to thank another governor, Governor Jack Markell of Delaware, for his leadership in creating the National Governors Association initiative, The Better Bottom Line. It was when Governor Markell was at the NGA, was the NGA chair, that Governor Walker and his wife, Tonette, hosted the National Governors Association meeting in Wisconsin. It was an extremely busy event covering much of the nation's business. Yet Governor Walker and his team met with our coalition that supports Employment First for people with disabilities, including the Autism Society, Best Buddies, USBLN, NFB, and Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, and others. We've also been extremely impressed by the high quality of Governor Walker's staff and especially appreciate the wonderful work of his Chief of Staff, Wendy, in Washington. Now, I'm delighted to have Governor Walker with us for this very special moment in U.S. history, as the WIOA has just been signed into law. And now all of America's governors must create a coordinated and performance-based plan for expanding job opportunities for people with disabilities in their states. Given that only 30% of working-age Americans with disabilities have jobs, compared to the more than 70% of those without disabilities, this is a vital task. Governor Walker is way ahead in both his words and deeds on these very issues. Thus, we know that he is an outstanding role model for other governors and leaders as they create their own statewide coordinated and performance-based initiatives. It is an honor and a pleasure to have Governor Walker with us today. Governor Walker, I turn it over to you with deep appreciation for the work that you are doing.
Well, thanks, Jennifer, and thanks. It was great, as you mentioned, chatting about this back last August at the National Governors Association meeting in Milwaukee, and we've been talking about it since, and I too want to give a tip of the hat to my friend, Governor Jack Markell, because Jack, of course, started this out with his year-long initiative in the 2012-2013 time he had as the chair of the National Governors Association, really opened my eyes and the eyes of a lot of other governors, but we decided to take it and be very aggressive with it. So today we're going to share a little bit both of my comments here for a minute or so, but also obviously in the question, talk a little bit about what we're doing and how we're doing in Wisconsin. And in our case, what we specifically decided to do a year ago, August, was to take this idea and to take some of the things we were already doing in Wisconsin and take some ideas we heard about not only from government, but for example, Walgreens, obviously a nationwide known company, had been aggressive in working not only with some of the distribution centers for which last August and even before that, the February before, they had done a lengthy explanation of how not only had they increased the number of people with disabilities working in their distribution centers, but that their productivity had gone up. And so, remember the CEO in February of 2013 telling us in Washington when Jack Markell had invited him to come and speak to us governors, he talked about how something I've stressed since then, that it wasn't about charity. It was about finding the right connection and adding value not only to the employees, but adding value, in this case, to Walgreens as the employer. And so last fall, in our small business summit, we had Walgreens come in and give a talk to the hundreds of small businesses from around the state that come and meet with us. This next week, we're actually going to have a whole panel on our initiative, A Better Bottom Line, and talking about how small businesses, not just bigger companies like Walgreens, but how small businesses can do that. And overall, our initiative has been multi-pronged, multi-focused. But the overriding idea is to take that Better Bottom Line initiative that was part of the NGA's plans and apply it specifically to the state of Wisconsin. We talked about it in our state address. I introduced a number of employees I met over the last few years. I brought their employers in, used that platform to kick things off, made it the year of the Better Bottom Line. Every month since then and through the end of the year, we go to employers across the state who are great role models for how to do that, be they big or small or anywhere in between, and how to successfully show that you can find the unique abilities of people who are otherwise identified as having a disability and not only add value to them as an employee, but add value to the business or the organization employing them. And then we've also incorporated on a monthly basis going to different organizations that help employers place people with disabilities into the workforce. And so we've tried to make it a very much of a statewide initiative, but go to every region within our state, to every media market, to draw attention, to tell the story, to give this message not only at disability or social service related function, but to stress it in our chambers of commerce, both with our statewide chamber and our business day, our small business summit, all those sorts of things, but also individually as I speak to chambers of commerce about our overall economic plans, I incorporate a better bottom line as a part of that. And one last thing I would just add, and then I know I'm sure there's a ton of great questions out there, but again, going along with this idea that we're stressing to employers, so I think in the past, man, yeah, it's a nice thing, but, you know, I don't know if I've got the time or I've got the capacity or the ability to do something just out of the charity, but I'd rather just write a check out and help some organization. What we've tried to stress, of course, is that it's done right with the right help and assistance, both from the state and our community partners, but also from our nonprofit partners out there. We can actually add value and help employers so that it goes beyond charity. But the other thing that I think is really important, it's part of why we've included it not as a separate initiative, but we put it into our whole economic development, workforce development, jobs plan, if you will, has been that, and our unemployment rate has gone down in our state, and we're happy to say that we went from 9.2% unemployment back at the beginning of 2010 to we're now down to 5.8%, the lowest we've seen since 2008. But the challenge that is on the horizon and is already in place for some of our employers is that now instead of having not enough jobs, they're having not enough employees or prospective employees. And so we really identified this as a workforce development and even ultimately an economic development issue, because if our employers can't fill positions they have open today, they're certainly going to be reluctant to take on more work, to take on more business, and to ultimately add more jobs. And so we believe another strong selling point of this is that with unemployment going down, with the baby boom generation entering or nearly in retirement age, and a huge wave of openings happening in the next 5, 6, 7 years or so, there's going to be a tremendous need, not only in my state, but across America, to help employers find quality employees. And that's why I keep stressing, we can't afford to have anyone sitting on the sidelines who's willing and interested in working. And this is why, yet one more reason why a better bottom line, not just for this year, but for years to come, is going to be a key initiative for us. And I appreciate all the folks on the line who are willing to hear about it, and people like Jennifer who've been really helpful for us to help make this happen.
Thank you, Governor. And our first question is from Lisa Pugh of Disability Rights Wisconsin, and she asks, You've been a leader amongst the governors in terms of advancing the issue of employment for people with disabilities. And while other governors have established committees or created executive orders for planning, you've put actual funding, real dollars, into our state's vocational rehabilitation program. You've expanded Project Search to 20 sites, and you have the Promise Program, and you've created disability employment training grants, all focused on non-charity employment. What do you hope to accomplish specifically with these financial investments?
Yeah, for us, we see a tremendous return on investment. For example, just our DVR, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, which is a part of our state's, would be our Labor Department, Department of Workforce Development, which is an appropriate place because it's not just a separate social service. It really is about workforce development, about labor issues out there. We went from 2,700, just over 2,700 people placed back in 2010 to this last year. There were over 3,800 people placed in jobs that were making almost $12.50 on average per hour. Obviously, many others making more than that, but that was an average wage. That's an incredible return on investment for the dollars that we invested of state and federal funds out there. So it's really, you know, we want to make sure there's a full spectrum of services available. We understand that in some limited cases there are going to be individuals that need very structured, very managed work environments, and we understand that. We want to make sure those choices out there. But we know for many others out there, with the right bit of assistance and programming and aid out there, and with the right amount of incentives and information to employers, we can successfully match. Part of it's that transition of opening people's ideas, not only through awareness, but a number of the programs you mentioned, providing assistance financially to help people start up and either fully or partially supplement wages while they get up and going. I was just with a person the other day up in northern Wisconsin, where we had subsidized as a plant to be going. He's now completely on his own in terms of the employer, and they love him. They love the quality work. They love the loyalty. They love that people come into the store looking for this particular employee. He's really added value to that company, to that business. And we want to see more of that. We want to see that connection being made because it's a win-win. And, you know, here's a football analogy. I have two sons, both are in college now, but the both of them played high school football, actually played all the way back to fifth grade, and they both played wide receiver. And I can remember all the years as a dad, I'd sit out there on a Friday night or when they were real young Saturday mornings, and I'd watch them take the plays in and out from the coach to the quarterback. Not once did I ever see a kid get called into the game who was sitting on the bench with his helmet off and his mouth guard out. The kids that got called in were the kids who had their equipment on, standing next to the coach ready to play. What we're trying to do, with whether it's Project Search expansion, whether it's the DVR stuff or many other programs we're doing, we're trying to make sure that everyone who has an interest, who wants to work, has got the equipment on and their skill set ready, and that we're plugging them in and helping them find their pathway to really meaningful employment. And when we do, it's good for everybody. It's good for the taxpayers because long-term it's less of a financial burden. It's good for employers because they're getting high-quality, well-trained, and extremely loyal and dependable employees. And it's obviously good for the individual because they get the dignity that comes from work and then being able to gain some sense of independence, or in some cases, gain full independence. And that's just a valuable thing all the way around. And so what we're really trying to do is threefold: help the taxpayers, help employers who are increasingly going to need more workers, as I mentioned, and most importantly, help individuals who can transition from a higher level of government dependence to higher levels of personal independence.
Thank you. The next question is from Ann Sievert from BPDD, and she's really asking about the public education effort that you're doing in terms of educating the public and employers about these issues. You are going around the state. You're doing different events every month. What is the message that you want employers and the public to get?
Yeah, and this is really important for us. It's not just, and that's why I stress every time I'm out, I've said it so many times. I used to say I sound like a broken record, but my sons remind me that people their age don't understand what records are anymore. So I guess I sound like a repeating iPod or a scratch CD or something like that. But what I mean by that is I repeat several key points. One is this is not about charity. I think that gets particularly employers' attention. I said this is about identifying the unique abilities that people have for individuals that otherwise are identified as having a disability, but really focusing on the ability, on the strength that they bring to a business or an organization in employment. Then talking about, so part of it is when we go out and we visit each month a different employer, part of it is not only talking to the employee, but talking to the manager, the boss, whoever it might be, and other employees along the way, and encouraging the media that follows me to interview those people to realize that it's not just, for example, about Patrick, a young man I met in Menomonee Falls, Wisconsin, who just is a go-getter, who handles a whole division that of an area where they make, for amusement parks and tests and things like that, they make the wrist bracelet you put on to say that you paid to get into the park or to the event. He manages boxing all that up, getting it shipped out. When I went to visit Patrick, got a kick out of it. He had me doing his job for a while, and I could do it about one, maybe 20th of the time he could do it. And he was great at that, but what I saw was not only did he do that job well, kept on pace, got everything done, but that the other employees loved it, and that there was a certain sense of enthusiasm. He knew who everybody was. He knew what they had done, where they were coming from. And I talked to Patrick's employer. In fact, I had Patrick and his boss come to the State of the State address and I introduced him. And it was just a great story because they reinforced what I said, which was, you know, for them, they've gotten so much more out of Patrick's presence at their business than they ever dreamed they would have, and that, you know, they were certainly glad to give him an ability to work there, but he was so much more of a value to them. And I think getting out and visiting employers who originally, you know, were a little bit suspect, but now have seen the value. I was at a cheese-making company not long ago where a third of the workforce are people with disabilities, and they just talked about what a great job they did. And when I had the meeting with me on that trip, I literally spent my time not only talking about what they were doing in their job, but asked them what they were doing with the money they made. And most of them were talking about apartments that they had. One of them told me about a car he bought. A couple of them talked about pets they had. And it was a Friday, so I asked them what they were doing. He said, well, after work, I'm going out to a fish fry with some of my buddies. I mean, it was just great for the public through the media following us around to see that if given a chance, people with disabilities are just like everybody else. Oftentimes, it's just a matter of finding that right accommodation to make it or equally so to find the right position that's a good match for people's strengths. And it's really about focusing in on the strengths that people have instead of getting hung up on the disability.
Thank you, Governor. Beth Sweden of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disability asks, employment for people with disabilities is going through so many changes now. There's a new Workforce Investment Opportunity Act. There are changes to funding in Medicaid. Post-secondary programs for students with intellectual disabilities are expanding. We seem to be entering a new era that says that people with disabilities can and should be working, as you've been talking about in this call. But why, Governor, with all the things that you could do, is this particularly important to you as an issue?
Well, it's make one of these site visits, and that alone is reason for me that Patrick or Ken or some of the other young men and young women, and those that aren't so young, but that I've met along the way, that alone would seal the deal just because of these great stories and these great people I've met. But as I mentioned, I think the connection is it's not just about feeling good and you do, but it's really about the fact that this is part, and this is where I think if people want to try and expand these sorts of things elsewhere around the country, as we continue to grow in the state, being more involved in the programs that Beth mentioned, that Jennifer, you've talked about as well, we've got to show that this is more than just a disability program. It's more than just a social service, which it is. It's really about workforce development. It's about economic development. It's about showing employers that as there's a growing need, as the unemployment rate goes down, and that's wonderful, but as the unemployment rate goes down, that means it's going to be harder to fill positions. As more and more baby boomers get near or close to near retirement, there's going to be a tremendous, tremendous growing need across the country to have more people in the workforce, and we just can't afford to have anybody on the sidelines. So that's something I just stressed over and over and over again. It's just it's a clear reality, and it just would be foolish to me for anybody who realizes if you got that need, whether it's on the horizon or for many of us it's right now for our employers, why not take advantage, and I mean that in the best sense, take advantage of a whole group of people who are hungry to get in the workforce, but just need a little bit of help on the way in. Not much, really, but a little bit to get plugged in the right way, and it's a tremendous benefit, like I say, for the taxpayers, for the employers, and most importantly, for those people who'll be hired.
Thanks,
also,
Governor.
I should just have one other quick thing on that. For example, on Project Search, in 2008, Wisconsin had one Project Search site. 2 years later, it had two. When I first started as governor, we added three more. We added two last year. We've had 140 graduates alone through that program up until last year. This school year that just ended, we had jumped up to 60 graduates, and we were so impressed with that program and how it prepares young people transitioning from high school to get ready to go into the workforce that we've added funding for another 20 more on top of that. So we'll actually be up to 27 sites. We'd love to do even more. In a similar way, we're excited about, there's a parallel program that helps people with disabilities not only transition out of high school, but go into our technical colleges, which would be like some states have community colleges like this, and really help make that transition as well. There are just so many ripe opportunities, and all it takes oftentimes is a little bit of guidance, a little bit of help through programs like this. And one of the best stories, I was at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin, and one of the speakers was a parent whose daughter had just gone through the program, was the completion ceremony, and he had come, I believe, from Qatar, somewhere in that region, 25 years ago, as a surgeon at this hospital. And he talked about how he thought his idea of the American dream was coming to the United States and being able to live his dream of being a doctor. And even though that was great, that he was so proud of that, he said he realized after this year-long, school-year-long program, Project Search, seeing his daughter, who he was worried would never ever be able to leave the home, now be involved in Project Search and blossom and perform and be able to work and do all these things, he said with tears, and I think everybody else had tears in their eyes as he told it, said that to him was the true American dream. And so what I'd say with all this is we're just trying to help more people live their piece of the American dream.
Fabulous. Governors, other governors around the country are really looking to you because now with the new law, every single state needs to have a coordinated collaboration with performance metrics throughout their state on this issue. Rich Sanders from the state of Alaska is asking, how do you do that? How do you suggest that other states involve the different agencies to take a look at these issues?
Well, I think it's one where you want to sit anybody down who's remotely connected. And so that's part of what we, with our efforts this year with the Better Bottom Line, was to bring people together even before this law, before these changes at the national level. But for us, what was part of successful has been, it's an ongoing process, was to not just look at it at one entity or another. We have our Department of Health Services, which would be like our HHS equivalent. We have our Department of Workforce Development, which would be like the Department of Labor and our Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. We have our State Council and others. But then we've all involved the Chamber. We've offered other employer groups. And we really tried to make this not just about employment of people with disabilities, but rather about addressing the larger issue of workforce development needs. And I think in doing that, people would be surprised how many different programs. In fact, it's a whole other discussion for a whole other call, but beyond just what we're talking about topically today, there's probably too many different programs for just workforce development, not just for people with disabilities, but workforce development at the federal level. It's often hard to get a handle on all of them, but try to bring as many of those together as possible. There's programs for veterans, there's programs for all different people out there, but try to bring as many different people together as work on workforce development, and then find a way to plug this in and to make it successful. And then I think from a plan standpoint, we're just going to build off of what we've done over the last year and in reinforcement, and then talk about where you're at now and where your goals at. Because, Jennifer, you and I talked about it's great to have awareness, but the awareness ultimately has to lead to performance. We invested more money, dramatically more money, into Project Search because we saw the success rate. In our state, a year after someone graduated from the Project Search program, our latest data shows that 87% of the people who are involved in Project Search are still working a year after that. That's a good success rate for any program, let alone a program targeted towards people with disabilities. We saw success, and we said, okay, that's why we're going from 7 to search, but other areas that are going to be key to making each state's plan successful.
Governor, there are so many more questions, but I know your time is limited. Let me ask a question about what those of us who care about these issues can do, whether it's advocacy organizations or people with disabilities or people who love them or people who are working in the field. What can we do to support our governors and other leaders and businesses that want to engage in this activity?
Yeah, I think whether it's encouraging employers to participate or encouraging elected officials to be more involved, more engaged, more active in this area, one of the best things people can do is encourage someone to go out on a site visit and ideally try to pick, there's a lot of great stories out there, but pick a situation where it's not only someone who's successfully employed, but also where that employer can be a great advocate for you. If you bring employers or you bring elected officials to a work site where you've got, and I had a good example, another one in Stoughton, Wisconsin, where I met a young man who does all the maintenance and efforts at a small ma-and-pa pharmacy. Well, not only do you see that this young man is happy and successful and helps him live an independent life, but you talk to his boss, you talk to the pharmacist, you talk to the other staff, they love it. Their life, their business would be incomplete without this young man who's a part of this, who was a part of the program that then they took on permanently. And any of the examples I mentioned today would be great to show an employer you might want to get involved, or a state lawmaker, or a governor, or a mayor, anybody else out there is involved in this, because it's hard not to be taken by the value of not just to the individual, but how beneficial this is to everybody involved. And that's where I think the key to success is. You got to make this, keep stressing it, but don't make it about charity. Don't make this just about social services. Make this about workforce development, because that's what we all hear over and over and over again about the looming workforce shortage issue. Here is a prime opportunity to help alleviate that, at the same time bring tremendous value to not only the people with disabilities, but to the mothers and fathers, the husbands and wives, the aunts and uncles, the caregivers, the others who have been involved in these people's lives up until now. This is a great opportunity to help everyone who's been involved really take that next giant step that allows people to be one step closer to independence.
Governor, you are a tremendous leader on these issues. We could not be more grateful. When our team, the entire coalition, met with you back in Wisconsin in August, you gave us a tremendous time and interest. You had a tremendous staff follow up with us. You met with us again in Washington and at the next National Governors Association throughout. It's been nothing but a pleasure to watch you hit one performance metric after another, watching you at the State of the State speak about these issues. You were the first governor in the United States to make this a part of your official State of the State address. We hope that other governors will do that in this following year. But it's been, as an American, it's made me very proud to see your leadership on these issues, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of all of us who care about these issues. Thanks for your time. We wish you much success with these issues.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. This does conclude today's presentation. You may now disconnect your phone lines.